Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Oscar-nominated best scores for 2023. That is to say, the movies that came out in 2023 to be presented on Oscar night 2024, which is March 10th. There are five nominees, and we will just sit back and listen to samples from each of them with a little annotation from yours truly. And then for the trailer, at the end of the show, we'll have something unexpected from one of the Oscar movies. The movies nominated for Best Music, parentheses, original score, end parentheses, that's the official title these days, are a varied lot, and we go from youngish first-time film composers all the way to the most experienced and most nominated composer in the history of movies. So, the nominated scores are American Fiction, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and Oppenheimer. So we're really ranging all over the map here. We're going to begin in a jazzy mode with American Fiction. Music by Laura Karpman, an experienced composer for movies and television. She's won five Emmys along the way, and she did the score for The Marvels, the 2023 superhero opus. So American Fiction is a biting social comedy. It's about a writer and academic who gets kind of weary of the way other black writers are finding success, creating stories that confirm how white readers want to think of black people. His frustration leads him to write his own ridiculously put-on novel under a pseudonym, which he intends as a parody of every cliche that white America holds about black stories. And of course, his agent and publishers love it, which is not what he intended. The joke soon spirals out of his control. The writer is played brilliantly by Jeffrey Wright, also Oscar-nominated this year. So is his co-star Sterling K. Brown in the supporting category. Wright plays a character named Thelonious Ellison. Everybody calls him Monk. And for this and other reasons, the movie demands a score that leans toward jazz. And Laura Karpman has delivered with a nimble score that I think ably darts around the movie's shifts in tone. Sometimes it's playful, sometimes annoyed, sometimes romantic, sometimes ironic. Something lively to start us off here, a track called Splash. Yeah. That is Splash, composed by Laura Karpman from the soundtrack to American Fiction. Our next selection from that movie is a cool little piece I can't resist because it involves finger snaps. Plus, the cue is titled Bookstore, and in my mind, all bookstores are as cool as this little piece of music is. The cue is titled Bookstore. It's from Laura Karpman's Oscar-nominated score for American Fiction. So, Jeffrey Wright's character in the movie is a very erudite, professorial type, and he creates this novel in which he deliberately uses the crudest stereotypes he can think of, which leads him to create a fictional persona for himself as the author, known only to his agent when publishers and film studios get all excited about this piece of trash that he's written. The book is initially titled My Pathology, that's spelled P-A-F-O-L-O-G-Y, it's one of his jokes, and that's also the title of this complex track. This is more music from American Fiction.
Thank you.
A cue called My Pathology, composed by Laura Karpman, part of her Oscar-nominated score for American Fiction, her first Oscar nomination. We are going to shift tones for our next movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, a long-awaited, for that matter, just plain long, saga from director Martin Scorsese, an account of the murders of members of the Osage tribe in Oklahoma in the 1920s. Many Osage had become rich from the oil discovered on their lands, which made them targets for exploitation. At the center of the story is a greedy rancher played by Robert De Niro, who cajoles his ambitious and none-too-bright nephew, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, to marry into the tribe, specifically a soulful Osage woman played by Oscar nominee Lily Gladstone. To score this fascinating, but horrifying story, Scorsese enlisted a longtime collaborator, Robbie Robertson, a Canadian of First Nations descent himself. Robbie Robertson was one of the founding members of the band and met Scorsese when the latter directed the classic concert film The Last Waltz, which documented the final appearance by the band. That film was released in 1978. There are stories of Scorsese and Robbie Robertson actually, like, they shared a house for a while. They edited the film together, had some wild times, apparently. But more important to film history, they shared work after that. Robbie Robertson worked as a music producer, eventually a composer on many of Scorsese's films, and he was the composer of the last two, The Irishman and Killers of the Flower Moon. He was certainly the right man for this job, as you will hear in some of the opening music of the film. The first is a kind of an invocation called The Sacred Pipe for about 30 seconds or so, then a cue called Osage Oil Boom, which accompanies some ecstatic shots of the Osage dancing in their gusher of black gold.
Nanu Bakshe Wahe Ahoba Eta Goa Eite Hea de Dakai. Thank you.
Two cues there from Robbie Robertson's score. From Killers of the Flower Moon, you just heard Osage Oil Boom, which was preceded by a little piece called The Sacred Pipe. Robertson's score doesn't try to sound exactly like something from the 1920s, but it does have echoes of early blues and folk music, even when it leans on electric guitar. Robertson has also said he called upon memories of growing up on a First Nations reserve in Canada for the kind of music he created. Here's a track titled Not If It's Illegal, where I think you'll hear a collection of different influences. Track titled Not If It's Illegal, composed by Robbie Robertson for the Killers of the Flower Moon soundtrack. You're listening to the music and the movies. My name is Robert Horton, and we're listening to movies from 2023 nominated for the Best Picture Oscar score. That film is somber and slow, and the way Scorsese could involve you in the violence of the anti-heroes of his older films is completely gone here. Here's a cue that sounds a little bit of a lighter note. It's called The Wedding, conveying one of the rare happy occasions in a blood-soaked story.
Thank you.
our music from Killers of the Flower Moon, that track titled The Wedding. Robbie Robertson composed the music, which is Oscar-nominated, but his nomination was a posthumous one. He died in August of 2023 at age 80, leaving this film as his final work. Our next nominated film takes us squarely into the realm of experimental music and a newcomer to the business of movies. Poor Things has music by Jerskyn Fendrix. That's a stage name for the English composer Jocelyn Dent Pooley. It's hard to know which one of those sounds more made up, but this is his first movie score. Poor Things is the nuttiest of this year's nominees. It's kind of a Frankenstein story with steampunk trimmings about a scientist, Willem Dafoe, who resuscitates a young woman under unusual circumstances. This childlike creature is played by Emma Stone in a deservedly Oscar-nominated performance. The director Yorgos Lanthimos holds nothing back in conjuring up a really wild world for this creature's adventures, and it fits that the music is similarly untethered. Let's hear an example of the strangeness of this music. Our first cut is titled Bella. That's the name of Emma Stone's reanimated character, and you will hear that the offness of the music serves as a proper introduction to this curious character. Then we hear a cue titled Reanimation, which sounds like the kind of music you need in a Frankenstein picture. Here are two brief pieces from Poor Things. Two cues from the soundtrack of Poor Things, that was Reanimation, preceded by Bella, the name of the character played by Emma Stone. This revived creature has the brain of an infant, which must develop quickly, and eventually she discovers sex, and she quickly wonders, why do people not do this all the time, to quote her. Driven thusly, she escapes to Lisbon with an utter cad, played by Mark Ruffalo. And that allows composer Jerskyn Fendrix to create some music in a Portuguese vein. We're going to hear his Portuguese Dance number 2, and then another brief piece called Goodbye Later Dove. We'll be right back. More music by the man who calls himself Jerskin Fendrix from his Oscar-nominated score for Poor Things. Cues titled Goodbye Later Dove, and before that, Portuguese Dance Number 2. So Poor Things is at the far end of the spectrum in the outrageous style of director Yorgos Lanthimos. He also made The Favorite, as he insisted everything be shot in a studio, lending a distinctively unreal quality to everything we see. No wonder the music is similarly whack. This is The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are listening to the soundtracks of films nominated for the 2023 Best Original Score Oscar. But we turn toward the very traditional for our next Oscar nominee, because the venerable John Williams is the living embodiment of the old school. And he has the numbers to prove it. 54 Oscar nominations, 5 wins along the way. And he broke his record this year for being the oldest ever Oscar nominee. He's 91. These days, he mostly just answers the phone when Steven Spielberg calls, or maybe to keep up with the Star Wars releases. But this year brought a new Indiana Jones picture, and two things are sacred about that. You got to have Harrison Ford, and you got to have John Williams. So let's see what Williams has going on this one, beginning with a cue that steps outside the expected adventure movie sound we expect, and instead creates really nice romantic theme for the character played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Indy's goddaughter in the film. The movie is set in the 1960s, and I like to think I hear a little 60s-style movie music in this track. It's called Helena's Theme, music from Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Thank you.
John Williams' music there, Helena's theme. And if some of the action music in Williams' bigger movies tends to kind of blend in together sometimes, I don't know how he keeps all those franchises straight, that is a nice example of finding a new note within the Indiana Jones world. But if you want to hear the familiar theme, here's that indelible musical flourish, which comes in toward the end of this cut called To Athens. And you'll know it when you hear it, in this theme from Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Yes, a John Williams theme from his latest Oscar nominee, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And if Williams still has his touch, I'm not entirely sure the franchise does, because times in this movie seem to be leaning awfully hard on our Pavlovian response to hearing that very indie theme. Okay, well, we come to the fifth and final Best Score nominee from the year 2023, and it's Oppenheimer. The year's most unlikely blockbuster, director Christopher Nolan's three-hour account of the life of J. Robert Oppenheimer and the development of the atomic bomb. The movie is far from a History Channel account, energetically swooping through time and around scenes from the scientist's life, including his post-war ordeal of being considered politically suspect. The music, which is very assertive in the movie, finds Nolan reuniting with Ludwig Göransson, who also did Tenet for the director. Here is a piece of the moody music of this score with the title, Can You Hear the Music? A question the young Oppenheimer, played by Oscar nominee Cillian Murphy, is asked, even though the subject is physics. Thank you. Music by Ludwig Göransson for the movie Oppenheimer. That cut is called Can You Hear the Music? A question that explicitly suggests the correlation between physics and music, which is something I've often wondered about, but I don't know enough about either subject to confirm the connection there. But Göransson certainly underlines it in his music with his repetitive, sometimes electronically enhanced scoring, drawing that sort of comparison. It's even in the titles of some of his cues, including this one, which is called Quantum Mechanics. Track called Quantum Mechanics. That's from Ludwig Göransson's score for Oppenheimer. Music that helps us get into the mind of a scientist, I think, which might explain why there's so much music in the movie. So much that at times you might not be able to understand all the dialogue, but then Christopher Nolan is on record saying he's not really all that worried about that. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are going through the films nominated for the Best Score Oscar for 2023. And we'll get one more from the Oppenheimer score. This time the cue is just titled Oppenheimer.
Thank you.
Music from Ludwig Göransson's score for Oppenheimer. I think blending nicely the scientist mind there with the artist's instinct that the film sometimes hints at. Electronic sounds there coexisting with a melancholy cello. And there's our trailer music. And we usually have something different in this slot. And this time it's a track from Killers of the Flower Moon that is not composed by Robbie Robertson. This Native American music, titled Wajaje, also known as A Song for My People, is in fact nominated in the Best Original Song category and written by Scott George, performed by the Osage Tribal Singers. It'll be interesting to see how this tribal music competes with songs from Billie Eilish and John Batiste, but that's what makes the best song category a kooky one. We are going to go out with that one, and we'll see you on Oscar night. I'm Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to the music and the movies.
Hey!